Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's shaking, Daniel? Oh, it's just another beautiful day. Oh my gosh.
What's going on?
My favorite thing is whenever it starts spring or fall, when you wake up in the morning and it's like chilly outside, like there's a
chilly mornings are the best.
And then it's beautiful, sunny, and warm in the afternoon. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We're rolling into, we're getting close to Memorial Day. Tis the Memorial Day season, I guess, when summer kind of starts and all that. Mm-hmm. Any big plans rolling into the summer?
Well, I have told my wife that this is the year of grilling. So I know we've talked about this before. It's been a while. But you and I both have kind of like an off-brand Blackstone, and I have been using it nonstop.
It's not off-brand. It's Sam's Club brand.
Sam's Club brand. I mean, it's
legit.
Not Blackstone. We're not like that fancy, but
it works.
Awesome. Oh, it's so much
really
better
well.
Than...
I don't know why they call this stuff Hamburger Helper. It does just fine by itself, huh?
I think
it is flat-top season.
It is. Yeah. So I've been out there like every meal cooking on the Blackstone, trying all kinds of different things.
I'll say it's not very fun in the middle of like July and August when it's 90 out
no,
and you're standing in front of
no,
this. Like,
no, because it gets top. So hot. It is so literally hot. Like 600 degrees. It is crazy. But no, I have been cooking nonstop, all kinds of fun stuff. So that's been good. What have you been cooking this season?
What have we
you
been
guys, you're a great cook, so you do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we haven't really. I mean, we've been doing the basics on it, like the burgers and chicken and all that. Nothing too crazy yet. It's tempting. I need to like get a good entire flat top of bacon going or something like that.
Oh,
bacon
gosh.
And eggs one Saturday morning.
Yes, that sounds amazing.
It's the perfect way to make your neighbors jealous.
A few episodes
cooking
ago,
bacon outside.
A few episodes ago, I talked about how we had a Keeneland tailgate and had a bunch of people out there, and we did breakfast, and I had to cook. I mean, a ridiculous amount of bacon. It was like 5 pounds of bacon.
How'd that go?
Awesome. It was amazing. It was so fun.
Did you bring the entire Blackstone?
I got this little like tailgate Blackstone that's small. It's just like two burners. And I had...
it's a lot of bacon.
The day before, I had pre-cooked all of it.
Oh, okay.
So then I just threw it on and had it like
smart.
Warmed up. It
Look
was
at
amazing.
You.
I know.
That snake looks delicious. What part do you think I'm about to eat?
I would say it's his knee.
It was fantastic.
I can't imagine cooking all that bacon on site. That would have been...
No, it would have been absolutely awful. And
grease everywhere.
Keeneland is, if you hear the common phrase Keeneland breeze, that's also a drink, but it's the wind factor at Keeneland
on the hill
is huge. So yeah, on the hill. So it was like crazy windy, which doesn't bode very well for the Blackstone. So I'm glad I cooked most of everything in advance. Okay. All right, let's get to some housekeeping odds and ends, and then we'll get to our question for the day. We are sponsored this episode and all episodes by Jewel Financial. We have a wealth management program where we help people all across the country. We work with people all across the country, so check us out, jewelfinancial.com. That's Joule financial.com. Also, send us questions. We love getting your questions. Feel free to keep sending those over to us, podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. If we use your question on the podcast, you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card. Anything else to add?
Nope.
Okay.
You covered it, right?
Let's get to John's question today. John, what do you got?
DIY!
Hey, DIY Money. This is John from Utah. I'm curious what your thoughts are on leveraged ETFs. If I'm comfortable with a lot of volatility, is this a potential good way to increase my returns over the long run? Thanks.
Okay, Daniel, before we get into John's question, which I think is a very good question, these have become a lot more popular in recent years, but there's a lot of lingo that he used that maybe some of our listeners are not don't know fully. So, leveraged ETF. Let's start first with what an ETF is. Go.
Yeah, so ETF is a fund similar to a mutual fund that really just trades throughout the day, right? So a mutual fund, you have one settled price at the end of the day. An ETF is actually marketable or tradable all throughout the trading day. So they operate very similarly. There's some nuances that are beyond the scope of today's show about some sort of taxes and things like that where they differ slightly. But for the average person, they're going to be very similar except for in how they actually trade.
Yeah, because it's an exchange-traded fund, so you're going in, you're buying it, and you can buy it throughout the day for an ETF versus a mutual fund, which settles at the end of the day. You're basically buying it throughout the day. Okay, so now continuing, leveraged. What does it mean when now you have your exchange-traded fund, but it's leveraged and not just kind of your standard?
Yeah, leverage is, we can think about it as, I guess, like a multiplier, mm-hmm. Or a multiple, or doubling up, tripling up, things like that. So a single leveraged ETF is one that is going to move twice the amount of the underlying investment. Or that's the design or the hope of it, effectively. So if you have, let's say, an S&P 500, most people know the S&P 500 as a stock index. You can't invest directly in it, but you can invest in things that model against it, right? A double leveraged S&P 500 ETF would try to gain typically the daily performance of the S&P 500 times two. So double the performance on a daily basis of that particular fund or of that particular investment. And you can get leverage ETFs across multiple spaces. You can get leverage ETFs that go more than double, some that go triple, and I think even quadruple now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the investment. Now,
and sometimes
so that's leverage, basically.
You can even have leverage in the opposite way. You could have it like shorted, double shorts. They have triple shorts. They have all these.
Yes.
I mean, it's like saying
short is
a leverage ETF is like saying, I'm going to get a fruit. I mean, there's tons of them. There's mm-hmm. all kinds of different ones that
so
you could get.
When you add that word leverage, all you're really saying is you are adding a multiple to the performance.
Yeah. So typically when we have an index fund or an index ETF that you buy, you're buying that to track the index. These leverage funds are then applying a multiplier to doing that. So
correct.
The other word that John used that I think is important is volatility. So volatility is actually the movements up or down of a particular asset. But typically when we talk about volatility, and John said it correctly, he said, I'm not worried about volatility. We're typically only worried on the downside, your downside volatility. So the stock going down significantly, the ETF going down significantly, that's when you worry about volatility. Or whenever you hear people on TV saying, wow, this is a really volatile market, typically they're talking about it going down a lot, maybe coming back up a lot, down a lot, up a lot. So a lot of movement that's happening. So that was the other key word that John had said that is important to know as we evaluate this. So Daniel, if you had someone come into your office and said, hey, I'm interested in buying these leveraged ETFs in my portfolio, how do you approach that?
Get out of my office!
I would point them to the fine print in the prospectuses and sort of the investment disclosures. The key to leverage is, and this is going to be really hard to illustrate without a whiteboard, so you're going to have to do some research on your end, DIY Money listeners.
I feel like we've said that enough times.
All
that
the time.
Now we just need to have a whiteboard and you with the whiteboard on like random
and
episodes.
And a picture just like me and the whiteboard. It is tough because when you get into like mathematical principles and things like that, it's a lot easier to see them than to listen to those in the car, try to be articulated by somebody who's not a math teacher, obviously. So the difficulty with leverage is it tends to compound downside greater than upside over the long run. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, so very simplistic version, right? If you have a investment that has a 50% decline, so you go from $100 down to $50, in order to get back up to your original investment, you need a 100% return, mm-hmm. right? So it's the math tends to be that you need greater upside over the long run than your original sort of downside draw. Now, in normal sort of market environments, because of the way that markets function historically, past performance is not indicative of future returns, right? But because of the way that inflation works and reinvested dividends, and various things like that, share buybacks, just the way that the stock market is kind of designed, collectively, as things decline periodically, they tend to still go up over the long run.
Yeah.
Right? From a high-level basis. However, when you add leverage to that, you end up running into sort of an erosion effect. That erosion effect, what that means is because these returns are compounded daily, meaning that your upside return is, yes, doubled in a
perfect
standard
world,
perfect world sort of double leveraged ETF. your downside is also doubled, which means that if you were to run this math and extrapolate it over a year of returns and the fact that it's compounding that way daily, what you'll see is by the end of that year, you will not have double the annual return.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you're taking daily returns and multiplying those rather than the point-to-point annual return. So it's really hard to explain that if I just blew your mind. You have to do that in a calculator or kind of draw that out yourself. But what it effectively does is if you looked at a double leveraged ETF versus a actual single investment like S&P 500 fund versus a S&P 500 leveraged, except in the time periods where the market is consistently just going up regularly, yep. If there's any volatility at all, the leveraged one will typically end lower or end less than half of the return of the S&P sort of 500 one because of this erosion that happens. So you'll have to go Google research like erosion of leveraged ETFs if you're really interested in this and get an understanding of that. It's out of the scope of this to explain it to the depth that you would need to understand it.
Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons that we typically don't recommend them. The other reason is, I mean, there can be a ton of volatility in these things, just like you said, John. I mean, there's a lot of movements, and some people can handle that, but typically we don't recommend going into these different areas. To me, when you're dealing with levered ETFs, it's almost like going on a margin. It's almost like utilizing debt in order to continually buy into something. And it's just not something that we typically recommend because it can lead to bad decisions in the future. Huge downside pulls can lead to poor decision making in your financial plan. And having that levered ETF in your plan, you might be expecting long-term returns that are not realistic for what could happen in a long-term market. We prefer obviously being consistent, doing your due diligence on your investments, being diversified, and not going into the leveraged area or the margin area because it just there's a lot of complexity that it adds. There's things under the surface. Typically, levered ETFs have very high expense ratios as well. So there's a lot of things there that just they don't meet what we think is important and crucial for an investment strategy meeting your goals in the future.
Yeah, and they don't work over the long run exactly how they sound like they work.
Right.
Because they're intended to be a daily, it sounds crazy, they're intended to be like a daily or short-term investment.
Right.
Which really is outside of the scope of our typical DIY model because
we're investing for the long term. You know, I've actually seen people, traders, I've seen a lot of this where they take a position in a triple NASDAQ, triple Qs or something for 2 days and then they're out of it. But holding that leveraged ETF or leveraged investment for a long period of time, just it typically does not work out.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few good articles written about this that draw out the math. So if you are really interested in geeking out and diving into the weeds on that, I would encourage you to do your research, know what you own and why. So go look at that, understand it. And if after reading all of that, you've done your research and homework and you feel like it is the best investment for you, then that's your call to make. But it's not something that we utilize in our portfolio development as any type of long-term investing vehicle because the math just doesn't support it in our viewpoints and opinion.
Great. I want to thank you, John. All right, friends, we're going to wrap it up there. The secret to wealth is very simple. And keep it simple. That's the important part. Live on less you make, invest the rest. Do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your questions aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.